If you have a Bible, and hopefully you do since Michael already asked you to grab it to read, turn with me to Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. And it's an amazing thing to think that 7 weeks ago we began this series at home, and we're finishing this series at home. So turn with me to Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day. Say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment. And Lord, I pray a blessing on all who are watching and will watch, who are in their homes right now, Lord, with families who are by themselves. I pray your presence and comfort on them now. I pray, Lord, in this moment, you open our hearts and our minds to what your Spirit wants us to hear in this moment. And may it transform us more and more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So how are you doing today? I'm serious when I ask that. How are you doing today? We've been in this mode of quarantine, stay at home, whatever you want to call it, for 7 weeks, as I just said. Started this series 7 weeks ago and finishing this series today. For 7 weeks, we have been doing this. We have learned what social distancing means. We have probably all learned what it means to eat at home and what it means to try to figure out how to eat leftovers at home. We've probably watched all the shows on TV, and if anybody has any Netflix things, I would appreciate to hear from you. We've also learned how to wear masks in public. All of these things just a month and a half ago would have seemed like descriptions of a new movie that we wanted to go watch, not actual reality. And yet, here we are today. And we really don't know how much longer we'll have of living this way. We may have some ideas, but I don't know about you. Watching the news or reading articles gives us no real good answers, or at least not the answers many of us want to hear. So I'm asking you this morning, today, how are you doing? Because if you're like me, there seems to be good days and, well, there seems to be a lot of bad days. In the last week, I have found my mind creeping over to the more dark side and asking the questions of, what if? It's hard when your three-year-old is given a mask by someone to wear out in public. That's a hard reality for a parent who's never had to have to worry about that. It's a hard reality for a parent whose 14-year-old so desperately wants to see her friends, and she hasn't been able to for a month and a half. It's hard when you begin to hear news of friends who are struggling, a family who is struggling. And it's not just with the coronavirus, but friends who have loved ones who are also struggling with other illnesses. I don't know about you, but this has been a hard week for me because when these kind of things happen, it feels burdensome. And when these kind of things happen, my anxiety levels, my anxiousness levels go up. And all of those kind of feelings that I've been trying to push down are going up. And I'm saying all of this because I believe that we're finding out something over these last 7 weeks. Maybe something we knew, but not something we wanted to admit. But it's that life is not fair. and what control we thought we had was just illusory. As we've been praying the Lord's Prayer for the last 7 weeks, I hope you're finding this out, and I think we're all finding this out, that the language of the prayer reminds us every morning and every night that we are not in control. Again, I don't know if you've been feeling this way, but I'm just telling you how I felt this week. And so, as you listen today, as you watch today, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know where your mind is, but I want to tell you this. Wherever you are, it's okay. There is no playbook for any of this. I wish I could write down 10 steps to make you feel better or 10 steps to make it all go away, but there isn't 10 steps for this. There is no playbook. But here's what I want to tell you today. With all the confidence and all the hope that I have, you're not alone in this. You're not. You're not by yourself in this. It might feel that way right now when you go into your house, when you go into a room, when you're sitting by yourself. It might feel like you are by yourself right now, but I want to tell you you're not. And I know that in these days, because I have been asking them, in these days, it's easy to ask the question, where is God? And why, God, are you doing this? And those are fair questions in this moment. And it's okay to ask. And you're not asking them by yourself. And they're not falling on deaf ears today. Because these questions and these feelings are the reasons why I wanted to read the section of text in Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a personal devotion. It's a personal psalm. The psalm can be sung like a song. It can be a prayer in which envelops our whole lives when we read it. They are words that nurture our awareness that God is our totality, that God is all around us. The section of verses 7 through 12, the psalmist speaks that God being wherever the psalmist is in the moment. We see at the beginning of verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then we go to the final two verses. And the final two verses, verses 11 and 12, are the ones who have stuck with me over the last few weeks as I read them. As the psalmist says this, surely the darkness shall overcover me, and the light around me become night. It's this line that has haunted me and reminds me that the struggle, that life is hard, that struggle is a part of life, that trials are a part of life. And as Stanley Hauerwas says, it is this reminder that the Christian life is no safe harbor, secure from the storms and struggles. And so as we finish up the Lord's Prayer and we link it with Psalm 139, we finish with the words that we see in the text, words such as lead us and deliver us. The prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And depending on whatever version you're reading from right now, whatever words that are used, some say rescue and some say trials, they are words that speak of difficulty and struggle. They speak to the journey of life that is not always perfect, that not everything is going to go our way. And it's probably why you and I need this prayer right now more than ever. Because it reminds us that the world as we see it is not right. The world as we want it is not there. The world as God is creating and moving towards is not there yet. And we see this as we read in the book of Romans, as Paul writes Romans 8, and he says this, 18 through 20. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Romans 8, 18 through 20 tells us that creation yearns not to struggle anymore. But right now, in this world, there is the reality of difficulties. And we see this even today. We see this even now for us as we sit in our homes and not in church buildings. Is to follow Jesus did not mean that you were going to be immune from the hurts and the pains of the world. If you decided to follow Jesus, thinking that nothing bad would ever happen to you or in your life, that you would be immune from pain, then I will tell you now that you were sold a false bill of goods. The gospel never promises any of those things. Jesus never promises a life void of the valleys. We know this because when we read the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke 4, what do we witness? Jesus, who has just been baptized in Luke 3, this amazing moment in which the heavens open up and God says, this is my son who I am well pleased in. And immediately in Luke 4, verse 1, the text tells us, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, after his baptism, was led into the wilderness. And it's in the wilderness where Jesus encounters the trials of the evil one. And we all know what these wilderness moments look like. Many of us are going through them right now. Some of us are probably dealing with them at this very moment. And the best way I can describe this sort of feeling is by calling what a 1500s theologian called, his name was John of the Cross, and he called it a dark night of the soul. And it's probably the best way that I can describe it, a dark night of the soul. It's the way that he described that feeling of darkness that engulfs us, a time when we can sense no light at the end of the tunnel. We can't even see what's in front of us or behind us because the darkness is too much. And maybe you've had some days like that where it felt like the darkness was too much, where it felt like it was just too much. And these are the moments of life when our words struggle to come off our lips and we question if anyone is out there to help. We question if anyone can help us. And it's here where the final words of the Lord's Prayer offer us the comfort and hope that we need in this moment. Where the psalmist's song and prayer of 139 gives us the comfort that we need. Where the trials of Jesus in the wilderness offers a solidarity that we need in this moment. If Jesus was not spared the wilderness, then neither will we be spared. But here's the good news today, and here's the hope. We don't do it alone. As followers of Jesus, what we are offered is a life that is not by itself, a life that is not individualized. It says, if you're hurting, if you don't know what's going on tomorrow, if you're struggling, if you're in despair, you got to go through it by yourself. That's not what Jesus calls us to. We see in Psalm 139, we see at the end of the Lord's Prayer, and we see in Luke 4 that you're not in this by yourself. You don't go through the valleys of life by yourself. Sure, it's going to feel like that many times. And it's hard to talk about our valleys with others because we don't want to seem like a failure to others. We don't want to bring other people down. We don't want to tell people we're struggling. It's hard to talk about those dark nights of the soul where we can't figure things out. But let me tell you this right now. That measure of how you think you are as a good Christian or a good follower of Jesus because you're struggling through that, that measure that you have has only been created by you. There is no barometer. There is no measure of success when it comes to Jesus. It's putting one foot in front of the other into life with Jesus. That's where it comes from. Your valleys, your dark nights of the soul will come. I know they will. They come for me all the time. They've come for me this week. And I've never been more thankful to have a wife who can walk with me, to have kids who somehow understand when I'm going through these things, to not do it by myself, to be able to open up to Psalm 139 and read that last part where it says, "The darkness is light to you." Why? Because in Jesus we have solidarity because he's walked into the darkness. You're not walking in this by yourself. You will walk in the dark knowing this, that Jesus has walked there before you, that Jesus has gone to the ultimate darkness, that Jesus at the cross for 3 days went into Sheol, went into the pits, and came out on the other side. The God who created this world did not let the darkness and the pain and the struggle have the final say. So whatever you're going through in this moment does not have the final say over who you are, does not describe who you are today. While darkness tries to claim its territory in our lives, the cross is the statement that it has no foothold. God did not create and leave you to do it by yourself. But instead, God stayed with us and struggled with us to make and create the world into a better place. Trials, temptations, and fear. Trials, temptations, evil, and despair. I wish I could say are not real, but they are. I wish I could say they're just an imagination, but they're not. They are all real. They are all powerful. They are all experienced by us at some time in our life, and they may be experienced by us today. And I can't ignore that. But I also, in saying that, cannot leave you in the darkness by yourself. I can't ignore just that. I can't ignore that there's evil, but I'm not going to ignore this either. That Jesus' victory was real and was decisive in you today. That while evil is real, despair is real, fear is real, Jesus' victory was more real. Jesus' victory was more powerful. He had the final say. You're not walking in the dark alone, so don't try. We're in this together. If you know someone who's trying to do it by themselves and you heard them talk about it, pick up the phone and walk with them. Because notice the words of the Lord's Prayer as we finish. Bring us, rescue us. We're in this together. It doesn't say bring me. It doesn't say rescue me. It says bring us and rescue us. We're in this together. We all do this together with Jesus by our side. We are in the dark with one another. And as the early church father, Basil the Great said, and whoever had on their bingo card, Basil the Great, you win. As the early church father, Basil the Great said, he said this, and I love this quote. He said, "Community life offers more blessings that can be fully and easily enumerated. It is both advantageous that the solitary life, it is more advantageous in the solitary life, both for preserving the goods bestowed on us by God and for warding off the external attacks of the enemy." That's that last part I want you to get. We need each other. And in these moments in which I know that we don't have each other and we feel apart from each other, that we need to pray this part of the Lord's Prayer to remind that we're not in control, that the evil one is still around, that struggle is real and a part of our lives. And we can't do this. And I think many of us are finding out we can't do this by ourselves. But I'm going to give you this. Jesus is there in the darkness with us. And I know some of you may be saying, how can you say that? It feels impossible. The darkness is so heavy. I can say that because I know with confidence we have each other. And since we have each other, God is rescuing us. God is pulling us out. And as the psalmist says, for darkness is as light to you. The night is as bright as day. We are given that hope today, that we are not in this by ourselves. The Lord gives us this prayer. The Lord gives us the totality of the prayer to remind us that we're not in this by ourselves, that we don't have control of it. But we have that last part, that God will rescue us, that God will rescue us, that God will give us what we need to make it through. Why? Because God is not doing it and saying, good luck and do it by yourself. God's saying, I am with you. And so carry that hope in you today. Our daily prayer, this daily prayer, is that hope triumphs over fear, that we will be delivered from evil, and we are not alone in this. And that's what I want for you today. You're not alone in this. There's no valley that God can't go to walk with you. There's no valley that any of us will not walk with you in this moment. And I hope you know that. I hope you feel that. I hope you sense that. And if you know others who are trying to do it by themselves, get in the valley with them and walk with them. Show them that God does not let anybody go alone in this. We love you. We miss you. We know there are so many in our family hurting right now in the last few days. We're praying for you. We want you to know that anything you need, we will be there for you. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.